Japan will win the gold in both the men's and the women's street competition. Yesterday it was Yuto Horigomi. Will it be Momiji or will it be Funa? Well, she certainly put an exclamation point on that. Already in the lead, Momiji with a 14.74 has just distanced herself at 13 years of age. Japan owns the street. Momiji Nishiya claims the gold in the women's street competition. What a performance!
The debut star of the Tokyo Olympics might not be a single athlete or a country, but an entire sport, skateboarding, which broke every assumption that I had about age and failure and style and honestly, what it even means to be a sport. So this week, with skateboarding leaving the street competition for the park events, we summon an expert who explains how skate culture, his culture, is fitting into the Olympics, and whether it should want to fit in at all. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, August 3rd. This is ESPN Daily, presented by UKG. Our purpose is people. Gary Rogers, man, thank you for joining me. I know you're the host of Skate Line. You're from Thrasher Magazine. You're an X Games skateboarding analyst. So let me talk to you about kind of the biggest picture existential question around skating during these 2 weeks, which is Olympic skateboarding is a thing, but do you call skating a sport?
Never. I think skateboarding has a name and it's skateboarding. I just don't consider it a sport. The way that it's crafted doesn't necessarily mean it needs to have a best. And I feel like that's what the original escape was, to not feel like you were competing. But that's the only way you can make a living, unfortunately. So that's the truth of it. And I think those competitions have pushed things so far, you know? Like, so it's unfortunate. And I did things like the X Games because those are the things when I was a kid that got me like, okay, you can do that. You can go over there. I never even really thought that those dudes were competing. I thought, like, in my head...
Wait, what did you think was happening with the X Games?
I thought they did the coolest thing of the day. I never really got the vibe that one was trying to be better than the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, it never felt like how it does now. Like, not the jockish vibe.
And so, the jockishness versus skate culture, how do you describe that for people who don't really know much about either?
Well, now there's kids that'll drop in like, I could be the best one day. And the original vibe was, hey, let's just come together and keep creating and share our creations and make videos and spread our little message. While in a sense, the original people were the rebels with an artistic mindset of what can we show each other? Now you get like, I got to be better than this person now. And that, I feel like that was never really there. Yeah, it's bittersweet.
Well, when you talk about the way that you consume skateboarding, Gary, or you grew up consuming skateboarding, I think we're really talking about internet videos, right? The skate tape, the skate video, these musical artifacts that are amazingly edited. They're funny, they're crass. There are security guards and cars going by and random obstacles. It's this whole entire art form unto itself. What does the skate video really give us, do you think, that an Olympics broadcast on network television does not?
Oh my God. It's you see these guys falling in a couple tries and you're like, wow, this is not good. You see these YouTube comments of this is not good. What's happening here? There's a lot of messing up. You don't even understand a skate video takes a person sometimes a year to get a trick. So even the consistency level for people to be landing these tricks in 4 to 5 tries is already different because we're known to, bro, I got to come back next month or I got to fly here when we come, you know, and
right. Compared to the Olympics where it is live and you get your set number of tries and you got a score and that's it.
A group of guys just get together, travel and try to make a piece for their friends and the people that appreciated what they do. And now you have these really consistent dudes that can take the most incredible tricks in the world and do them so quickly, and people were just like, wow, no, if you really wanted to watch a skate videos process, you're there for a month watching this person try, myself included. Like, I remember the last trick that I tried for the video Godspeed, Illegal Skips Godspeed.
Yeah.
I was trying my trick. It didn't actually make the final cut because I was a little behind the deadline, but I went every day for 3 weeks to try one trick. And then I see Yuto land something, you know, the aesthetic of Yuto landing something,
yep,
not falling.
That would be Yuto Origome from Japan, who just won the first ever gold medal in men's street skate.
Wow. That'll work. That's Yuto doing what Yuto does better than anyone in the world.
So Yuto Origome goes into the lead with a 33.17 and still...
You know, and I'm just like, bro, what? Like...
Yeah, well, getting to see how the skateboarding sausage is made in the Olympics, which is to say, it's like
skateboard sausage.
Skateboard sausage. Did I just is that a brand I can monetize?
I have no idea. Take it. I'm not gonna do anything with it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I had a feeling. What you're describing is a process of falling and risking life and limb when people are not watching. There's a lot of editing that goes into how you make a skate tape, is what you're saying. And here, it's like, you know, there's a recital aspect of it.
Yeah, it's amazing at the same time. That first year, those dudes did stuff that's not supposed to happen within that small window of time. It's not like Jagger's backside flip, fakie grind is not supposed to happen. Like, within five, like, no, not a no gap to rail on no twist. I can't remember her name right now.
Funa Nakayama.
Exactly. Doing front crook on that rail, a 12 rail.
If she can put down one of her signature tricks, front side,
yes,
crook
she can.
Down the 12. She does it. Massive score coming her way.
5.0 for Nakayama.
I'm sitting there stoked, like, bro, like, I don't even want this to be happening, but she just did a front crook first try on a 12 for a second try.
Gary, but when you just said that's not supposed to happen, for people who don't know the dictionary of terms that you just very fluently gave us, what happened that actually did blow your mind there?
Bro, what I mean by that thing's not supposed to happen, you don't understand. Being able to front crook a 12 rail first try, that is no easy feat. And to the pressure that you're under, you're in the Olympics, you're kind of unknown at this point.
Mm-hmm. The world's meeting you for the first time. Really.
They're meeting you for the world's meeting for, and you have this ability to do something that I would be terrified. I've been skating 2 years longer than that girl's been alive.
Right.
I can't even fathom how she was able to clutch that at that point in time. It's just, it's a really difficult thing to do.
Can you walk us through, Gary, just what the trick actually was?
So it's called a frontside crooked grind, where you would drop down to your front truck. You would literally put your weight onto your wheel. So the rail is, let's say, maybe 4 inches across, 3 inches across. You have a 7 or 8 inch truck. You have to jump down 12 steps. We've all walked steps. These steps are slightly larger. Jump down, put all your weight forward while tilting on a. It's insane to even put that together. And that, and to me, it's like, that's first nature. Seeing it is like, I get that. Explaining it though, you have no idea what it's like to pop, lean forward, and go onto a rail, because your weight wants to come over you. So you literally have to stop your body, put your truck down, be on this rail, get out, and roll away forward. While you're already turning slightly, you go into maybe a 30-degree angle, 40-degree angle, to put your front truck, your one truck, and the wheel pressure all at once. Bro, it's just to try to make it, to sum it up for people that have... Those girls are special, definitely. The fact that these... First off, I think the most beautiful thing about the Olympics this year was the younger audience of people winning. these. I think that was crazy, man.
Talk about the kids, 13-year-olds.
Kids was like, that was special.
Yeah, it really was. And Gary, after the break, I want to ask you how you're supposed to score some of the most insane things you've ever seen.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Gary, I'm reviewing the results from the street competition and those superstar young women. I just want to recap it here. Gold went to Japan. Silver went to Brazil. Bronze went to Japan. Meanwhile, the men's side, Japan got gold there as well. Brazil got silver as well. The U.S. got bronze. And the U.S. medal went to Jagger Eden, an X Games veteran, a son of gymnasts, by the way. But Nyjah Houston, like, that's the name that I came in knowing. That's maybe the best men's skater in the world by many measures. He's American. He wound up seventh. So just that one medal for the United States so far, how do you rate the U.S. performance?
That's that side that's different on me. I don't care. I'm not disappointed. Because think about this, though. The growth of
It's weird for me to even ask it like that, I guess, now that I'm hearing you say that.
No,
yeah.
No, it's not. It's not a problem. These other people that have came, like Kelvin's not a huge street part having skateboarder. He has all those tricks. He's come here to compete. The growth of skateboarding, the people in America, we focus on the video parts and the other things. You know what I'm saying? These dudes are like, nah, I want to be the best ever. Nyjah gets seventh place, right?
Yeah.
I know he's not a medalist and I know it's really not about him. He gets seventh place, right? But he's working on one of the craziest videos of all time. His body is going through things because when he comes out with something, it's always, bro, everybody like, yeah, heck no. It usually has like a feature on YouTube. It'll come out like on YouTube or thrashermagazine.com.
This part of how the skateboarding world is really interesting. I don't think it's obvious to people because what you're saying is that there are kind of two parallel jobs, at least two, that someone like Nyjah has, right? Which is he's in the Olympics, but he's also making this other video that you just alluded to.
Yeah, he's almost trying to please the other side. He's trying to please that. Remember, I was telling you where you're like, what side are you on? And it shouldn't be sides, unfortunately. It should all just be skateboarding. But Nyjah is trying to perform on both ends. And no, he didn't do the best that day. But his focus always was to win, too. But he's also trying to do really hard stuff on another end. Because he likes to focus on, you know, actual street skating because he loves it. So you go and then you see the trick he wants to try. He could have done other things to win. And he goes at the hardest he can probably go and comes up short because, I don't know, I feel like he just has the luxury of he's been the best. Everybody wants to be where he is. I'll take the risk.
Well, so the fact that these skateboarders, like the Olympics is kind of not the biggest deal for them. Like what they care about day to day, making these videos, doing stuff within that world, there seems to be an argument like, look, that's as lasting and influential on our culture as stuff that might happen in the Olympics. But what he tried to do in the Olympics, which you just referenced, which was wild, And him falling was impressive.
You're floored by it, bro. You're floored by like what he was trying. You're just like,
I mean, just the angle of approach, just like the height that he was trying it from, how dangerous it obviously was.
Like the people, they don't get it yet. So it's like you're hyped to fall because you get to fall there. For a lot of these kids, you know, you get to fail in front of the world, hyped.
But being hyped for failure, you got to, I mean, I think you do understand this, but in jock culture, in sports, the world that I study otherwise and sort of learn about in my day-to-day life, like, that is a nightmare. Yeah. Like, becoming a meme.
Exactly.
Becoming imprisoned in a meme forever because here you are face-planting, failing.
Like the Steph slip.
Yes.
And then airball three. Like, things like that. You know, it's like skateboarders will laugh at those moments. You know, you learn to love the failure just so you can actually win something for yourself. Because it's like, that's what's crazy about skateboarding. You get a gold medal in your mind because you're learning something that's technically hard and you did it. You know, like LeBron will always have a super team around him. I wish they could see my face right now.
I just, you know what, Gary, you say you're like an outsider to jock culture, but you're very clearly very fluent in the world
I play
it
basketball.
Takes. You're very fluent world.
I play basketball. I understand sports a lot. But I think that's, you know, I couldn't make it in sports because of my grades and behaviors. So I had to find somewhere elsewhere. And skateboarding was where I didn't need anybody's, except for my parents, but I didn't need anybody's, approval to do.
But not to cut you off, man, but that's part of it, right? Like, that's part of the whole idea of, like, why is skateboarding special? It's because it's the place where you don't need grades and good behavior in those ways. Like, this is where you can feel like you have a home and you belong in that way.
It's so much fun, and it's so your own. You get to do it your whole own way.
Well, the idea that, you know, here we are grading things, because the X Games, obviously, you cover that for ESPN, and you're very well versed in that. But, like, the imposition of, you know, scores and stuff, like, the idea of, like, it's not your own actually, Gary. Sorry, man. Like, it's not your own anymore.
Yeah. When it comes to scoring, skateboard scoring is the most. What are we doing?
So how does it work? Because I have no idea. Like, if you asked me to score skateboarding, I truly wouldn't even know. Like, how do I assign points?
It's so weird because I'll be calling the scores because I know it. I'll be like, oh, that's this, then that. And I'm just like, I shouldn't be right about this. This shouldn't be a thing. Because when you see, so one year it was during X Games, Kelvin, who got the medal, and he got the silver medal in the Olympics. He does a trick. Like a kick flip, he does like a backside flip, fakie grind, but alley-oop, right? So it's literally one of the most.
I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds incredibly impressive.
Like, no, in the competition realm, I'm telling you, he did it and did not get a 10 for that. Like, you're supposed to win from that. Because this,
and you are aggrieved to this day about
this. I
still
have a problem with it. This happened in like 2017 or 18. I still can't wrap my head around how he did not win. Like, that's what I'm saying. When Nigel start flipping his board over, you're like, whoa, hold on. So when the people do that, and you're like, well, that's an 8-3 or an 8. It's like, no, that's a 9 up. Because or if that's how we're gonna score it, bro. I wish we didn't do that. I wish it was off stoke, but not everybody understands. Everything the skateboarder.
Well,
there are
hold on,
good judges.
Hold on.
There are good panels. There's decent everything around the whole thing. So,
but sure. But when you say the term, which I want to incorporate into my life, even though I'm trying to figure out exactly what it means precisely, so I can do so. When you say something's off stoke, it seems like you're describing both degree of difficulty, but also like the risk seekingness and like the spirit of something.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So. This is why, the reason why I do the commentary that I do, these are my friends. And we're joking with the world. They're in on the joke with me when I'm presenting, hi, you're this, that, and the third. So.
But skateboarding as an inside joke that other people are trying to get now, that does feel like part of this story too, because man.
Yeah, it is.
Part of the problem of having an inside joke in front of the world is people start like me, come in and they're like, yo man, I have a podcast. Start explaining this to me now.
Yep, for real.
So Gary, for those who aren't on the inside of this joke, coming up, I want you to help me make sense of what we're about to see this week.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Gary, it feels like you have the exasperation of an art critic who is watching someone walk around and point to, like, I don't know, Monet and be like, 8.1.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. I didn't know you was just going to take me straight Picasso museum, but exactly. And it's, but there are skateboarders in those buildings scoring these tricks. So I have to, whatever system they made, they're doing their thing.
For you, for someone who, like, obviously is of this culture and has now seen it, again, the stolen valor aspect of, like, everybody is now trying to get a little bit more skateboardy. That I can imagine that is utterly...
They've been doing it for years, though. It's almost like we've always dropped off a fashion sense or an idea for something, and then people have taken... Like, even look at rappers and hip-hop artists, like, going to tighter pants.
Yes.
That was based off an entire skateboard aesthetic, and, you know, because that just... Everybody comes here and borrows our ideas.
People like to look like they don't give a shit, and so they turn to the people who don't give a shit, and then they end up looking like someone who's trying to not give a shit. In terms of...
You said the S word three times.
I'm sorry. Is that...
No, that's fine. Hey, I'm just saying, bro, because look, I don't know where this is getting aired at, but I'd be trying to make sure I know my P's.
No, we got a bleep button, no. But also I may have heat checked a couple times there.
It's cliche. It's not about looking cool, man. It's not about being cool. It's about, you know, you live it. People see it.
So, okay. So this week we're going to get phase two of this existential experiment that has you really, and you summed it up as well as anybody can, has you really thinking, like, big picture about where all of this is headed and what it means. So what are we going to see in this next second phase? Because I know we're going from street to park.
To park.
So what does that mean for those who don't have any idea?
Park skateboarding is more like when you see a local skate park. Everybody's familiar with the term skate park. Those are the kids that actually wake up where we all warm up. They stay there. And they've went to the bowl and they've learned how to skate in a whole different way from the street skateboarding. Obviously, there is still people that have parts that are in a bowl or in a park, but park skateboarding is transitional skateboarding where it's not vertical. It literally goes up in a slope that meets a coping or pool coping or all type of extensions and things like that. And those type of people, like, you look at, there's like Zion Wright, he's in it.
Yeah.
He does street just as he does park. And in this phase two, it's going to be dope to see, to be honest. I think it's going to be amazing to see this too. But it's the same thing, man. It's just all like all these point scores. It's like my big battle in my head. Like,
I'm curious, like, because there are places where, like, you know, style otherwise, like, for many people who watch this stuff, like, style is the story of the sport, man. Because, like, these uniforms, like, a lot of uniforms in other sports are not nearly as cool as this stuff. But I'm curious what your review of these things are.
I didn't like the reason why I didn't like the uniforms and the jerseys is obviously you do need something that makes you look like you're in this collective piece.
A uniform. It's a uniform, yeah. As you said.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of that because skateboarders, we dress our own way. You want your own graphic. You want your own clothes. We don't want to look like anything else. We're not supposed to be told what to do. Just let me be who I am. And then let the world see that. So then I can inspire the other kid that looks like me. Don't form a disconnect and make me look like, don't put me in a jersey and look like I can't do it. Because you sit there at that table when you're a kid and you're like, I want to go to the NBA. And your parent has to unfortunately tell you only 300 people make it into this thing a year. Don't make skateboarding look like, you got to look like and be like, don't you can't, no, you can do whatever. It's make it up. Go.
So it feels, Gary, like what we're getting at here with all of this is that skateboarding has a very, very different metric of success. It kind of rejects metrics as a concept. It's all about individuality, creativity, originality, and risk and failure, ultimately. And that, all of that's not so much a part of the Olympics version.
Mm-hmm. It's not. And I do want everybody to be successful and be seen. I don't want to hold anyone back. I don't want to tell them don't involve themselves with these big people. And, you know, they feel like they have some snatch from them. I'm just saying there's this freedom that we came here for. And I don't want it ever to be taken when it hits bigger stages. This thing is amazing. And, you know, it's given me everything. It's brought me a lot of success and happiness. It's put me from the thing that I watched as a kid to hosting it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I never wanted anything from skateboarding, but to skateboard. And I've gotten everything, you know? And it's, and it was just, you know, my grandmother's name was Ollie. Mm. So it hits different for me. It came from, you know, so. This stuff is attached to me in a deep way.
Gary Rogers, thank you for sharing a bit of your soul with us on ESPN Daily.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.